Good morning, everyone. Good morning to everyone online. Maybe my friends and family, if I decide to share the link with them after this. I'm Hudson Lewis. I'm a grad student over at Clarkson. I'm on the soccer team there. So today we're going to be talking about going from here to there. Has someone ever asked you to do something that didn't seem to make sense? A recent one for me was when Glenn asked me to preach. I was like, whoa, you want me to get up here and talk? Okay. Today we're going to be looking at what it means to trust God when it's difficult or confusing. So I'm from South Carolina, and I came here last January in the middle of the winter. And so I went from this very warm and sunny place to freezing cold blizzard in Potsdam, New York. So, why would I do that? I think God has a very intentional plan for our lives. And I don't think I ended up here by accident. I think it was very directed by God. I actually tried to not come here a couple times, and then he still made me come here. I get to be here. But it was difficult to take a step in a direction where I was, you know, comfortable near my family, near my friends, and to step out of my comfort zone and go 1,000 miles away to Potsdam. So for my undergraduate, I went to Erskine College, which is a very small school in Due West, South Carolina. It's even smaller than Potsdam. And when I was approaching my graduation there, I quickly realized I wanted to do hospital management and that I would need to work on getting my master's if I wanted to continue in that field. So I started looking at schools that were accredited by this certain group, and then selfishly I wanted to continue to play soccer as well. So I kind of looked for things that would overlap in those two categories. And I found a school called Webster University, which was in St. Louis, that was both of those things. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit a lot in the past couple weeks, and the Holy Spirit, he steered me away from that. He pointed me to Clarkson, and I just wanted to share a few of those, those moments with you all, because it's something that can't be a coincidence. Firstly, I was working an internship during my senior semester at Erskine, and my mentor and boss of my internship, I was kind of talking to him about how I was looking at grad school and where I might go. And I knew he was from New York, but I didn't really know where or anything like that. And I mentioned that I had reached out to Clarkson, and he goes, "Oh, my daughter and son-in-law, they met at Clarkson. They loved it there. It's a great school." And so, I'm like, okay, that's cool. I mean, I haven't really heard anything back from them at that point, but I was like, that's neat that someone I know is connected in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina, to one of the places that I'm looking. And, at that point, I'm still very much, Webster is my first choice. I've had a contact with the coach, and I was accepted into the school. So I'm very much leaning that way. And I got on the phone with my dad that same afternoon, actually. And I was like, "Dad, this looks great. This looks like a good opportunity for me." And, he's like, my dad's an engineer, right? So he thinks about all the possible scenarios, wants to weigh out every single option, and it takes forever to make a decision, which sometimes frustrates me, but also it's good that he is that voice of reason to me sometimes. And so he just tells me, be patient, let it all take in some more options, take some more time. And, I pulled the phone away from my ear, saying, "All right, Dad, I love you, talk to you soon." Pulled the phone away from my ear and hit end the phone call. And a text message scrolls down on my phone, and it is the Clarkson soccer coach. And I kid you not, that was like, that is unbelievable timing. Like, you cannot make that up. And so I was like, wow, that's two things in one day. And I set up the phone call with him, and I applied to Clarkson, but, I was a little bit worried because I was going to have to take the GMAT, which is kind of like the SAT of grad school, and to get into Clarkson, I thought. And so I kind of submitted all of my application except for that, and kind of was like, all right, I need to figure out if I'm going to have time to do that or when I would do that. And then a couple weeks later, I got into Clarkson. I didn't even need to take it. And I was very surprised to find that information out. And so this is about Thanksgiving time last year. So we're kind of like reliving my life a year ago right now. And it's decision time, right? I need to figure this out. I need to figure out what I'm doing. I kind of weigh it all out. And then I find out that a lot of Clarkson's program is virtual. And so, you know, I started college during COVID, which meant I had a lot of hybrid classes. I had a couple online classes. People were wearing masks. I had to get a sticker on my phone that said I got my temperature read that morning before I can enter a building. It was a whole bunch of stuff like that. So I kind of was thinking back to that, and I was like, I don't know if a lot of online school would be good for me. And so then, after a lot of deliberation, I was like, all right, I'm going to go to Webster. So then I come back to school from break, and I'm like planning to call the coach that week over at Webster. And then my mom calls me, and she goes, Hudson, remember how you wanted your school to be KME accredited? And I was like, yeah, Mom, all the people I've talked to professionally say that's really good. And she's like, well, Webster's not on the list. And I was like, what do you mean? I've looked like 10 times. I'm pretty sure it is. she's like, no, they're working on it being accredited by KME, but they are not currently. And so I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll go to Clarkson. Upon reflection, like, it was just amazing to see how every single time I tried to take a wrong turn away from what God wanted me to do, he still pointed me in the direction that he wanted me to go. And so when I came up here in January, it's kind of like a fresh start. Starting somewhere new is very interesting. And I had to kind of figure out how I wanted to conduct myself, who I wanted to be, because it's like you're starting over something new for the first time. And one of the first couple weeks I was up here, I had a teammate who's no longer, he's moved on, he's doing something different with his life now, but I was able to share the gospel with him. He told me he had grown up in an atheist family, but he had always been curious about God and his potential existence, and he wanted to know more about Christianity. And I had never in my life had someone be so openly curious to discuss this with me, and from a place of non-belief. I feel like in the South, a lot of people it's the Bible Belt, right? Everyone has been to church in some capacity, goes to church on a regular basis, and sometimes that's apparent in your life, and sometimes that's not, but for the most part, people are going to tell you, oh, I know about Christianity. And so an opportunity to speak to someone who was curious but not there yet, that was a first for me. And I was like, this is awesome. This is really cool. And I found New Hope Church pretty quickly after arriving here. And I met Glenn, who most of you know, as he's the assistant pastor here. I kind of was telling him the story that I just told you all. And he's like, Hudson, have you ever thought about starting a Bible study? And I was like, no, I haven't. because I feel like for most of my college experience before I got here, I was kind of shy about talking about my faith. I wasn't very comfortable sharing that with other people. But it's a new start, right? It was a new chance for me to try something different. So I listened to Glenn, maybe a little reluctantly at first. But now I was blessed to like have so many opportunities to share with my teammates in like little instances where like one time I left my Bible in my car and I was given some of my teammates a ride and they asked me about it. And I said, yeah, I'm actually starting a Bible study. And if you would like to come, you're more than welcome. And so I got a yes actually that way. So it was just a lot of little ways that I was able to connect with people and then get this thing going. I ended up having like between 5 and 7 guys from my team come on a weekly basis, which was awesome. It was amazing to see how God was using me in a way I could have never expected. And so now we're going to look at someone who was asked to do something that was even crazier then moving from South Carolina to New York winter. So Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So I think a huge part of that verse is Jesus tells Peter to get out of the boat, and Peter starts walking towards him on the water. It just doesn't seem to make sense. Why? If Jesus has already done a lot of things in the Bible to the disciples at this point to make them think, wow, okay, we believe that he is God. And this is another one of those moments. But Jesus offers Peter an opportunity to trust him. And he trusts Jesus so much that there's this storm going on, there's wind, there's waves, and yet he gets out of the boat because he really believes that Jesus is going to allow him to walk on the water towards him because he told him to. So Jesus is not going to ask any of us to try and walk on water. But what things could he be doing in our lives that we don't understand or that we need to trust him to do? And, you know, doing something new or trying something difficult is something that we all have gone through. Raise your hand if you made a New Year's resolution this past year. I know I did, right? Now, how many of you guys made it past the summertime on that resolution? I did not. Another like biblical parallel to that scenario, right, is the Israelites were in Egypt, and Jesus uses Moses to say, "All right, we're gonna leave. We're gonna go to the Promised Land. We're gonna leave Egypt." And the Israelites, they just saw plagues on the Egyptian people. They leave Egypt, they see the water, the Red Sea opened up, and they walk through, and then the Egyptian soldiers are chasing them, and then the sea closes back down on them, and they're on the other side safe. And then they're led into the desert by a cloud of fire that is symbolizing God leading them by Moses. And even after all of that, they're still saying, "Are we there yet?" They're in the middle. They're trying to figure out. They can't see the finish line yet. And they've seen all these amazing things that God has done, and they're still struggling to think about the finish line. They're talking about, should we turn around? How can you? Like, none of us have seen God work so powerfully in person like that. So, how much harder is it for us to trust him? If they're doubting, certainly we can doubt. And so the hardest thing about getting from here to there, right, as the Israelites saw, as our New Year's resolutions have seen, is the middle. Peter, he trusts God when he gets out of the boat, right? He's feeling the moment. Like the Israelites, they were like, "Yes, Jesus is going to take us out of Egypt." Our New Year's resolution in January 1st, we're like, "Yes, we're going to start the year strong." But then you get going, you start on your journey, and you get to the middle, and then the wind and the waves start coming in, and you get distracted. You get scared. Think about turning back. So what things can we do to trust God when we're trying to get from here to there, right? So as Peter saw, you know, he started sinking when the wind and the waves start coming in on him. So what do you do when you can't swim and the wind and the waves are coming in and you start sinking? You grab your floaties, your little flotation device, and then you get ready. So the first flotation device for us, our first floaty, is our identity, right? So most of you all here are believers in Christ. And when we trust him with our identity, all the obstacles, all the wind and the waves that we face, whether that's work, school, or relationships, finances, anything that could be going on that puts strain on your life, none of that is as important as your identity in Christ. Don't let that distract you from what is most important in your life. When we doubt or we worry and our uncertainty distracts us from God's plan in our lives, you know, it takes our focus off of him. A big challenge for me in this area recently has been that I recently finished playing soccer. I'm like retired, I guess. And, you know, that's something that's been a part of my life for 20 years, pretty much since I could walk. And, you know, like every little kid, I wanted to play pro. And then God kind of showed me that that was not for me. I ended up hurting my knee when I was a sophomore in high school, and I had a big surgery, and I crutched around for a couple months, and then finally I was able to play again, right? And that whole time I'm like, I'm just going to get back. I got to get back. I want to control my life. My identity was not in Christ. It was in soccer. And then, you know, I came back and I was like, yes, this is great. I feel good again. I can actually play. And then God was like, you didn't learn your lesson the first time? How about one more? And then I crutched around for a couple more months. And then I was like, this time I was like, all right, maybe I'll just be done. And after high school, and, you know, I'm blessed to say that God actually allowed me to continue to play. But I realized from all of that, from my time as a collegiate athlete, from my time in high school, from the knee surgeries, all of it, I learned that I will not find fulfillment in soccer or anything else that is in this life. None of that will give me peace and fulfillment like my identity in Christ. That is the only way to find purpose in your life. And a really awesome quote that I think goes with this really well is, Jesus came to announce to us that an identity based on success, popularity, power is a false identity. Loudly and clearly, he says, you are not what the world makes you, but you are children of God. All right, second floaty. Obedience. Doing what God's word instructs us to do, right? If we can never get out of the boat if we don't obey. If God calls us to get out of the boat and we're not obeying, you're just going to sit in the boat. And when you care about somebody, right, you listen to them. You know, your friends, they tell you something, right? You're going to be like, okay, maybe. You know, your parents are always like, because I said so, right? Obey me because I said so. But because you love them, they're your parents, you trust them, you're going to do it. Sometimes that's a good enough answer. And our love for God is reflected by how much we try and obey him in our lives, right? There is no safer place than trying to live inside God's plan for us and be obedient to him. Peter obeyed, and he was able to walk out on the water where Jesus is, where Jesus was. And when we have faith and we trust God's plan for us, amazing things can happen. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Third floaty, scripture. By actively spending time in the word, we can grow in our understanding of God's plan for us, right? The last two things, obedience and identity, the best way to have a better understanding of those two things is scripture. You know, reading the scripture will help enforce our identity in him, and it'll help us understand what it looks like to obey him. Reading the scripture is a valuable tool for us in this way. And so when we have wind, waves, right, we have a book that helps us understand what we're supposed to do when there are wind and waves. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." All right, our fourth floaty is prayer. We have a guide, right? When we're trying to get from here to there, you know, the hardest part about getting from here to there is you're in the middle, right? We talked about that. And when you can't see the end and you're trying to figure out where you're going, the Holy Spirit is our guide. He has the directions for us, and he just wants us to ask. When we pray for direction, right, it may not mean what we think it means. It might be like God answers our prayers in ways that we cannot expect. It might be a direction that we couldn't have seen coming. You know, I'm looking for a job right now. It's pretty tricky. I feel like I've gotten like 100 no's. And I was actually looking for a job back in the spring. And, you know, I had applied to a bunch of places. And I actually had a job that I thought I might get in Ogdensburg. I was like, oh, that'd be great. You know, I can work there. I'd have my house thing figured out for where I was living. And, you know, that could be cool. I could work and do soccer and do my school. I think I could do all of those things, right? And then, you know, I was telling Glenn about this job. And he's like, yeah, let's pray about it. So, you know, we prayed about it. I ended up going to the gym afterwards. And this is within 30 minutes, right? I just saw him. I'm at the gym. I get an email. Didn't get the job. I was like, all right, God, I hear you. That's pretty quick, but all right, that works for me. And then a week later, you know, I'm having small group or a Bible study with the guys on the team, right? And I try and wrap up every small group with, you know, what's one thing that we all can pray for each other about? Share one thing. And, you know, a lot of us say the same things, right? Job, school, soccer. And I was like, guys, I'm looking for a job right now for the summer, maybe for the fall here, South Carolina, I don't know. And that was on a Thursday. By Friday at like 8 p.m. the next day, had 7 rejection emails from like different places I've been applying to over the past couple weeks. All of them just start getting back to me on this one Friday, like right after Bible study. I'm like, all right, seems pretty clear, God. I'm listening to you. I will hold off. And then a couple weeks later, I finally get a place that I'd applied to a long time ago. And they are like, hey, it's in Greenville. I was like, all right, I'll see what happens. We want to set up an interview. Like, okay. So I get home. You know, I've got my laptop pulled up, got my resume, just thinking about what I might say. And then I'm like, all right, God, you've said no to me a couple times. Help me to do well in this interview. If I get it, then it's because you want me to have it. And then, you know, they're supposed to call me any minute now. And then I get an email. Hey, we're going with our other candidate. We canceled your interview today. I was like, okay, three strikes. All right. I will hold off on looking for a job. And I ended up spending the summer with my youngest brother. So much quality time. He just turned 15. I drove him around Creation. Took him to the gym with me, and, you know, for so much of his, like, middle school, I guess now high school, which is crazy to think about, like, I've been away at college, right, and God was saying, no, I need you to be there for him, right? He found out that he has, you know, he already had a peanut allergy, right, but he also found out that, you know, he can't have celiacs, there we go. Yeah, like he has celiacs. So that extremely narrowed down his diet even more. And that was really hard for him. But then being able to just be there for him and like, hey, let's go do something fun. Let's spend time together. And I was able to give him that this summer, which was like, it was just as good for me as it was for him. And so anyway, prayer. James 5:13 through 18 says, if anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. So think what we can learn from this is God will answer our prayers. It may not be what we want it to look like, but he hears us. He wants us to pray to him and ask for whatever it may be, whether we are happy, whether we are in trouble, whether we're sick. And then our last floaty is fellowship. Community and support with people that are in the same place as you are, that are also in the middle, that are also trying to get out of the boat. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You guys have like a group chat with your friends. Like, it's like you and your friends, and you have like this like funny name for your like your message group, right? I have a message group with my friends from home. It's called Andrew Limskadel. And you're like, what is that? What is that? It's where we all went to college, jumbled up into one word: Anderson, Clemson, Erskine, and the Citadel. Andrew Limskadel. That is how we got there. And I didn't really have great community before I met these guys. I met them like the summer before I actually started college, right? Which is funny because it's like you all went to different colleges. But every time I was home for break, anytime I needed advice, anytime I, you know, needed anything, right? Needed support, encouragement, I have been able to lean on these guys. And I think that's kind of a testament to like how important fellowship is, right? Because before that, like you don't have people that you can go to, right? It makes things difficult, right? You don't have someone that's trying to steer you in the right direction, then it's difficult. You know, if you have people that are around you that are not making the right decisions, they're going to steer you in the wrong direction. So that, I think that goes to show how important fellowship can be. And so all these things, right, all these floaties, they're not new concepts. But I think being intentional with each one of these things in our lives is really important. I've grown up going to church my whole life. I knew all of these things, right? I would have probably sat there and listened to myself when I was in high school and been like, dude, you just said like five things I already know. but being intentional about all these things makes a tremendous difference. And I feel like every time I am like in a good place and I'm putting all of these five floaties on, I can feel myself swimming. I can feel the difference. I can feel like I'm growing closer to God. But when I lose one of my floaties, when I lose all my floaties, you start to sink. So my challenge to all of you, or my invitation to all of you, is to try and wear your floaties all the time, because we're always trying to swim. We're always trying to keep from sinking. Also, if the band wants to go ahead and come up, they can. But my last couple takeaways, wherever you might be in the spectrum of faith and understanding or relationship with God, the first one is that Jesus called Peter out of the boat, right? Don't be afraid to get out of the boat, to start going where Jesus wants you to go. From here to there, don't be afraid to start. And the second is that, highlighting kind of a part that in the passage that maybe you missed over, or it was kind of jumbled in with everything else, but as soon as Peter starts to sink, it says immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and pulls him out. God will sustain you. When you start sinking, when you have wind and waves, and you have to go through challenges, he will help you. He will sustain you. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Thank you.